This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Real quick, without even thinking, at 2 o'clock, Rami, favorite Gene Hackman movie? Anything? Oh my God, I got kids. I have children on the other side. I don't even know who Gene Hackman is. Got nothing?
I've seen it. I can't give you one off the top
of my
head.
You can't just give me a Gene Hackman movie.
Googling it. Give me
he's
one
Googling.
Second.
No, you can't give me one either, Ryan.
Was it Hoosiers? I don't know.
Yeah, Hoosiers.
Yeah,
okay. Okay. Have you actually seen Hoosiers?
Nope.
No. My goodness.
The original is the Superman. I've seen that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's Lex Luthor and Superman.
This is how bad it is. When I saw that he had passed away,
I looked up.
Like, what movies is
Luthor.
He in?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had to look up what movies was he in. Like, when I saw that he died.
Oh, my God. So many good movies. So many. Gene Hackman was just... You catch a Gene Hackman movie on TV, you stick with it. And I love a lot of the ones that he's not even like known for. Quick and the Dead. What a great cast that was. Quick and the Dead, it's like a Western movie. It's got a young Leo DiCaprio. It's got Sharon Stone. It's got Russell Crowe. Gene Hackman. Just a tremendous movie. I think there's even Gary Sinise has a quick cameo in that movie. Like, that is a great movie. I love Unforgiven. I've talked about that scene in Unforgiven over and over again. Him and Clint Eastwood in that final scene. You read The Firm. That's a Grisham, isn't it?
Yes.
John Grisham?
Yeah, yeah.
You read The Firm. He was in The Firm with Tom Cruise. That's a good one. Even what's the Enemy of the State with Will Smith. That was a good movie that he was in. That he was good in, like even subtle roles like that. Not the famous, not Hoosiers, or I don't even what's he won 2 Academy Awards. What are the 2 Academy Awards that? What were the movies he won the Academy Award for? Was it Hoosiers or
French Connection?
The French Connection, obviously, won his biggest role. French Connection is the big one. Oh, he won it for Unforgiven. He won best supporting actor in Unforgiven. Yeah, Unforgiven is tremendous, and he plays the sheriff in Unforgiven. So good. And I'll never forget that scene. It's just one of the great scenes in movie history. One of the great lines in movie history. You know, Morgan Freeman and Clint Eastwood are buddies. They're there for a reason. They're trying to track down these two guys and for a bunch of prostitutes who hired them. And Wild Bill is the sheriff of the town, which is Gene Hackman. They catch Morgan Freeman. They torture him to death. And then they put him in a casket in front of this bar to kind of like let people know this is what happens to assassins. You come here looking to kill people, this is what happens to you. And they put him in front of the bar. And Clint Eastwood walks into the bar at the end of the movie, and he asks who owns the place. And when the bartender says, "I do," he shoots him. And Gene Hackman goes, "Well, you cowardly SOB, you just killed an unarmed man." And I would argue this is one of the great lines in movie history. Clint Eastwood looks at him and says, "Well, he should have armed himself if he was going to decorate his saloon with my friend." It's just a tremendous line. "Should have armed himself if he's going to decorate his saloon with my friend." Oh, what a great line. Love that movie. But Gene Hackman's I guess we're learning more about whether or not, I guess maybe it is a little bit more suspicious than the reports were when I broke the news yesterday morning at 5 o'clock when I first saw it. But I mean, just tragic. Him, his wife, and his dog all found dead. It sounds like they've been dead for a while. Just tragic. 95 years old. His wife was younger, 63, which is, you know, far, far too young. 95 is a good run. I mean, but love Gina. Any movie you put on, I'm trying to think of all the movies. There's so many. The movie where him and Denzel Washington are on the submarine. That was a great movie. Him and Kevin Costner, where they're in the military. I can't remember that movie.
No Way Out.
No Way Out.
Maybe, I don't know. There's so many.
Yeah, I gotta look at a whole bunch of them. There's him and Owen Wilson behind enemy lines. Just so many. You know, I love Runaway Jury with him and John Cusack. He's great in that movie. There's just Gene Hackman's in so many just good quality movies. The Royal Tenenbaums, even his comedy chops. He did the Royal Tenenbaums. He's got that very famous brief. I don't even know if you call it a cameo, but he has got that brief thing in Young Frankenstein, where he plays the blind man who lets Frankenstein's monster, Peter Boyle, in. And they have the, you know, he gives him soup and he keeps spilling it everywhere. Like, there is so, he's just, Gene Hackman was the best, man. The Replacements is obviously the other sports movie with him and Keanu Reeves, where he's the coach of the replacement team as the NFL players are on strike. There's just so many. Gene Hackman, The French Connection, The Conversation, so many. He was just one of my favorites, man. I remember, I talked about this yesterday. When I first started doing the show, when I first started doing the overnight 2 years ago, I was doing this thing regular. I don't know if it was every night, but I was doing like segments, get to know your new overnight host. So I was talking about myself. I was talking about how much I like the Beatles. I was just giving, you know, because this is like a family, the overnight show. It's a lot of the same people listening. You live the same lifestyle that I'm living now. So this is when you listen. It's a family, a lot of the same callers. So I was giving a little bit about my personal life. And I remember doing movies, and I did like a whole thing on Gene Hackman. Like the whole night was Gene Hackman movies. That was one of the first shows I ever did, was a whole night of a 5-hour show, taking a bunch of, because that first week, my first week of doing the shows was the All-Star break. My first week was 4 out of 5 shows were 5-hour shows. I did the whole week of nothing but 5-hour shows without baseball or any other sport being played. I yelled a lot about Otani. And we talked about Gene Hackman. So not only do I love Gene Hackman movies, not only do I think he's one of the great actors, and any time a Gene Hackman movie's on, I will stop to watch it, but I associate him on some level with me becoming the overnight host because I spent a bunch of time talking about Gene Hackman movies. I mean, Gene Hackman is just one of the all-time greats. There is no doubt about it. One of the, you know, The French Connection was such an important film. It was one of the real first prominent car chase scenes. I mean, just Mississippi Burning, him and Willem Dafoe, so many great movies. Let's get to Andy in South Jersey. What's up, Andy?
Hey, Chris, how you doing tonight?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Excellent. You mentioned a couple of the Gene Hackman movies I was going to jump in on, which was No Way Out and that little part in Young Frankenstein. Great. Yeah. The movie Get Shorty, he was excellent.
Oh, my God. I said that yesterday. I don't know how I didn't say it just now. Get Shorty is such a good movie.
He is, and
I think he is so good in that one in particular. He is so funny, so different than he normally is. You know, so, you know, such a pushover and such a different kind of, you know, you think of Gene Hackman in most of these movies as he's the tough guy. He's the, in that movie, he's easily pushed over. He's afraid to make a mistake. He says the wrong thing all the time. It's a very different role for him for the most part. So I loved him in Get Shorty.
And if you remember, James Gandolfini was in that as well.
James Gandolfini was in that, obviously. John Travolta and
Delroy Lindo.
What's her name? What was the main
Bette
Midler was in it. Rene Russo.
Yeah.
It is, and his last movie actually, and it wasn't even that bad. It's almost to talk about Gene Hackman is to say that Welcome to Mooseport with Ray Romano. Even that movie had its moments and its charm, where he's a former president who goes to run for office for like the mayor of some little small town, and him and Ray Romano fight over a woman. Like even that crappy little movie with Ray Romano, you turn it on, you won't turn it off. Like Gene Hackman's the best, man.
And it's, speaking of being president, the movie with Clint Eastwood, Absolute Power, he was
Absolute
in.
Absolute Power, good. Yeah. I mean, that's right. I'm looking at it now. Even like, again, The Heist, or Heist I'm looking at the end of his career. Heartbreakers, which was another comedy where he plays like a dirty old man trying to get with Sigourney Weaver. Like even that kind of like those movies were still good. Enemy of the State, I mentioned. The Chamber, where he plays like a domestic terrorist.
He did three John Grisham books he was in. You mentioned two of them, Runaway Jury, The Chamber, and The Firm.
He's the father in The Birdcage. That's right. Man, he's Gene Hackman. He's getting better and better every time I'm scrolling here. So many great movies.
When you make it to 95, you give yourself a nice resume at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, and as tragic as it is, God bless him, 95.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a bad run.
The one thing that drove me nuts, I love the movie Hoosiers, sports movie. It's one of the top sports movies of all time.
Right.
At the end of the movie, when they showed a shot in the gym of the team that won the championship on the picture on the wall.
Yeah.
They left the assistant coach out of that picture. He was on the bench the whole season.
Did they?
How was he not in that team picture?
That's funny. Yeah, I gotta be totally honest with you. I've obviously seen Hoosiers. I haven't watched it in a long, long time. Not one of my favorites. I think I have to admit, as much as I love Gene Hackman, I think Hoosiers as like the greatest sports movie of all time, I think it's very overrated in the sports movie conversation. I got to be honest. It's good, but I think I can name, I don't know. I can name 10 sports movies I like much better off the top of my head than Hoosiers. But name them all 10. Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You just
Rocky
named
Balboa.
15 Gene Hackman movies. Can't name 10 sports movies.
I could, but I'm just saying that Field of Dreams is one of my favorites. The Natural. I love Miracle. I don't know if you'll recall Miracle better than Hoosiers, but I do happen to like Miracle. I think Rocky 1 and 2 are probably better for me than Hoosiers. Sandlot, A League of Their Own. Off the top of my head, I think those are all better than Hoosiers. But yeah, I mean, so many at the end. Runaway Jury is a classic too. His last movie was 2004. I mean, you know, he hasn't done anything in a long time. But yet, all the Crimson Tide, that was the other one I was thinking of. Crimson Tide is one with him and Denzel Washington on the submarine. One of my favorite movies. I'm surprised I forgot. Wyatt Earp with Kevin Costner. He's only in it for a little bit. He plays Wyatt Earp's father, who's not in it much. But I much prefer. This is one of my all-time biggest fights that nobody agrees with me on. Like, you know, they have like that one argument you'll die on a hill on. You see like memes like that or whatever. Like the one thing I will die on a hill on is that Kevin Costner's Wyatt Earp is better than Tombstone. Everybody loves Tombstone. Wyatt Earp is better. Some of the acting in Tombstone, although Val Kilmer is tremendous as Doc Holliday. Although he's far better than Randy Quaid is. Other than that, that's the only positive about that movie, how good he is. Other than that, it's one of my least favorite Kurt Russell performances. I'm not a fan. I much prefer, much prefer Wyatt Earp. Brian in Middletown. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Chris. He kind of already mentioned a lot of those. I was going to mention Runaway Jury, Royal Tenenbaums, Replacements. But the one I wanted to bring up that he's not in, but very, at least I remember it a lot. If you remember PCU.
Sure.
With Jeremy Piven.
Yes.
Where they have studying, the Kane-Hackman theory.
And he's studying the Gene Hackman theory. That's right.
Yeah, the Kane-Hackman theory. Any time you can find a Michael Caine or Gene Hackman movie on TV. Which
that's
I just think is hysterical.
Yeah, the PC, that movie with Jeremy Piven is very, very good. John Favreau is in that. David Spade is in that. That is a very, that is a very funny college campus comedy. Very, very funny. I that's right, the Gene Hackman theory. I forgot about that. That is very funny. I think, I don't know, I think Tom Hanks might have it now, or Tom Cruise. I'm trying to think. It's a different world. I don't watch. I'm not flipping around my cable box as much as I used to. Like back in the day, you'd flip through the cable box and either on USA or TNT, TBS. What was Channel 43? The whatever movie channel. What you would flip around on the television where there would be commercials, and you would get stuck watching one of those A&E. That's the A&E or some of those US. Whatever those channels were, and you'd get stuck on a movie. And for me, like the classic TV movies that were always on were Shawshank Redemption, A Few Good Men was always on.
Still is.
Yeah. I think like Castaway was one of those movies that's like always on TV. Those are, I don't remember Gene Hackman movies constantly being on, but he's in so damn many. Someone called, the last time I did this, someone mentioned Bat 21. I have no memory of that movie, but someone mentioned that. Obviously, Superman, all the Superman movies. Really, only I don't remember him all that much in 2 for whatever reason. I just remember him in 1 when he's got the kryptonite thing around him on his neck and he's in the pool. He puts him in the pool. The Poseidon Adventure, sure, I remember that. But, yeah, Gene Hackman, the best. Royal Tenenbaums. And Unforgiven. I'll never forget Unforgiven. Unforgiven is such a good one. But yeah, Gene Hackman. Tragic news. 888-808-1019. As far as sports movies go, my buddy Boosh driving home. Boosh, you still working? You still bouncing? We were supposed to have a segment. I was thinking about this a long time ago. Maybe we'll actually do it. But my buddy Boosh bounces at a bar in Franklin Square. And I was thinking, and he does Thursday night, so I was thinking like Friday mornings, a segment on like news from the bar. Have a bouncer on and see how many people he had to throw out of the bar that night or any kind of weird stories. But he's driving home. Slapshot and Youngblood. Slapshot, yes. Youngblood, I don't know. Now, I haven't seen Youngblood in forever. I'm not even sure I've seen the whole movie. Yeah, Rob Lowe is the hockey player, right? And Patrick Swayze's in it too. Yeah, I don't know if I'd put Youngblood on the list. He's still there. I mean, you must. Oh, there's a Jose Reyes was at the bar. Was at the bar tonight. How about that? Jose Reyes was at the Plattdeutsch in Franklin Square.
That's so out of place for him.
That is. That's very weird for him. Plattdeutsch is awesome. Big beer garden. This time of year, not, you know, it's warm enough maybe, but in the outside, get some beer. They have these like schnitzel pretzel bun sliders. Delicious. Mm-hmm. I haven't been there in a long time. I got to get back to the Plattdeutsch. I got to get back to the square every once in a while. Joe in Staten Island. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, C-Mac?
What's up, buddy?
Did anybody mention Gene Hackman movie, The Conversation?
I mentioned it. No one else had, yeah.
Oh, but so yeah, anyway.
I briefly pretty, said the conversation, yes.
Yeah, very very low-key, completely opposite from the French Connection persona.
Right.
Very low-key, listening, surveillance man, and anyway. I just was wondering if anybody, if you guys missed that.
Yeah, no,
one.
I remember the conversation. Again, another movie I haven't seen in a long time. But I'm more of like the 90s. Like, if you look at his 90s resume, like, it's impressive. Like, obviously, his big, you know, The French Connection, The Conversation, Young Frankenstein, The French Connection was 71. So that was really the movie that put him on the map. I'm looking at other things before that, and there's really not anything noteworthy. So The French Connection is his first big movie as Jimmy Doyle in The French Connection. That's 1971. So in the 70s, he's got The French Connection, he's got The Poseidon Adventure, he's got The Conversation, Young Frankenstein, Night Moves, Bite the Bullet, French Connection 2, A Bridge Too Far, Superman, and Superman 2 is 1980. The 80s, a couple of things, nothing that I really... Uncommon Valor, we haven't mentioned that yet. As far as movies that jump out at me that I remember, the 80s, he's got Hoosiers, Superman, No Way Out, this movie Bat 22 that someone was telling me about last time, and then Mississippi Burning. But the night, so that's, he's got a couple movies in both the 70s and 80s, right? So, but then you look at the 90s, and for me, this is when I, you know, started to grow up with him and remember, and like, he's got Unforgiven, The Firm, Wyatt Earp, Quick and the Dead, Crimson Tide, Get Shorty, The Birdcage, The Chamber, Absolute Power, Enemy of the State. Like, that's, look at, like, all those movies in the 90s, from Unforgiven, The Firm, Wyatt Earp, Quick and the Dead, Crimson Tide with Denzel Washington, The Birdcage with Robin Williams, Absolute Power with Clint Eastwood. I mean, that he had one hell of a run. And then even in the 2000s, like the later career, The Replacements, The Royal Tenenbaums, Runaway Jury. He really had a renaissance of his career in the 90s and 2000s.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Harvey, 2:30. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, halfway through our five-hour midnight ride as we take you to 5 a.m. and the warm-up show. We can talk a little bit Mets here because, again, as we're getting closer to the season here, Clay Holmes again yesterday. Now, it's spring training. I get it. But he has now thrown 6 innings. He has given up 1 hit and 1 walk. That's it. He pitched another 3-inning gem today. He's got his good stuff going, and I'm telling you, you know how I feel about the rotation. And I still think they should go out and help the rotation. We haven't heard anything yet on Manaea. I don't know when you're going to hear anything on Manaea. If you're going to get a starting pitcher in here, I want to do it soon because you've seen starting pitchers really struggle. Even Snell, who ended up rebounding in the second half, did not pitch well to start the year last year after signing late and then got hurt and came back and was great. To be fair, Montgomery was just awful all year, never got off on the right foot at all. The last thing I want to do is bring someone in, and especially because you need him now to start the year. Like, so I'm hoping that the Mets, I know they brought in a starting pitcher from Texas who isn't going to be, they signed him to a minor league contract. But I'm telling you, there are players on teams, and certainly there are guys who shape, you could look at, and like I point to them and I say, as go they, go the team. Not because they're the driving force, and we all know Juan Soto and this offense and Lindor are the driving force of the team, right? Should be, at the very least. But their rotation, in my mind, is a scary proposition. I'm sorry. I know everybody believes in David Stern, and I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying that when you piecemeal and put together a rotation with duct tape, it scares me. When you don't want to invest in real, like, good talent, top of the market talent in your rotation at all, and you're basing it on, you run to give Frankie Montas $34 million in 2 years, which so far has been Stern's first real failure, as he's going to miss half the year. You give Manaea, who earned it, a contract, but other than that, you're trying to turn a reliever into a starter in Clay Holmes. You're relying on Kodai Senga. I think you could say, besides, after Juan Soto, the two most talented players, not just pitchers, players in free agency last year, were Burns and Fried. And if you're going to act like those are out of the question, like you are not the kind of organization who signs those contracts, not because you can't afford it, clearly, or not even because you don't think they're good players, but because you believe that paying starting pitchers to long-term contracts is faulty, roster building, that they can't stay healthy. And sure, I mean, look, the Montas and the Manaea thing prove that thought process. So I get that that's smart, right? And I understand you look at the Max Fried contract for the New York Yankees and those last 3 years, maybe even 6, 7, 8, at I think he's 31 this year. So you're talking about 36, 37, 38. It's a major question mark on what Max Fried is going to be for the New York Yankees at the end of that deal. So I get it. But at some point, if you want to win a championship, if you want to make sure that your rotation is good enough to compete with the Dodgers, who are throwing Glass now, and Snell, and, you know, Yamamoto and Otani. I mean, if you want to compete with that team, you're going to have to take a chance on some really good starting pitching at some point, and can't just rely on your pitching lab and your, you know, smarts and go out there and sign all these 1-year, 2-year contracts on secondary and tertiary talent, or guys who need to prove their career again, like you did with Severino last year. And just to expect that to work year after year after year, it's tough. And already you've seen Manaea go down and Montas go down. And you're going to be relying on Paul Blackburn. You're going to be relying on, Griffin Canning. You're going to be relying on guys like that, where you were all pleased with your depth. Now they're not depth. Now they're in the rotation. So that rotation, to me, is still the scariest part of this team. And if you told me the Mets don't have the year they wanted, or don't succeed to the level they expected, my guess would be the rotation's the thing that holds them back. But having said that, if Clay Holmes, and again, it's 2 spring training starts and 6 innings total, but if Clay Holmes finds himself in the rotation, and you get a guy who, without question, has really good stuff, throws the ball 97, 98 miles an hour, has a hard sinker that gets a lot of ground balls, develops a changeup that can create swing and miss and keep hitters off balance, and he's able to throw strikes. And here's the main question mark I have with Clay Holmes, and I've said this a lot. The thing I have with Clay Holmes is, when you watched him with the New York Yankees, there were times he would come into a game and the first 2 pitches of his outing told you exactly how the inning was going to go. He is not a guy who has shown thus far. Now, when he goes out, that he can battle when he doesn't have his great stuff. Now, he has his good stuff. He's dominant, as we've seen in the postseason. Just last postseason, dominant. When he goes out there and he knows where that sinker's going and he's able to locate the slider, dominant. But when he goes out there and that first pitch is in the dirt, or that first fastball goes to the backstop, you're like, oh, here we go. He has not been able to flip that switch. And so far in his two first spring training starts, he's kind of had his good stuff. And I think you're going to see that when he has his good stuff, he'll be good, like most pitchers. I mean, the old cliche is, you make 30 starts, 10 you'll have your good stuff, 10 you'll have nothing. And it's what you do with the 10 in between that will dictate your season. And I don't know how Clay Holmes is going to respond to those 10 starts where he doesn't have it, but he needs to figure it out. Because he hasn't shown that as a reliever. But here's the positive. You get much more rope and leeway to find it as a starter. You're a reliever. You come in, you walk 2 guys and give up a double, you're out of the game. You start a game as a starter, you walk 2 guys, give up a double, you're not going anywhere. You got time to settle in and find your stuff. So I'm curious how he's going to do that. And I think that's going to make the difference between eventually seeing him back in the bullpen or having him be a big part of the rotation. But right now, so far, so good. The changeup looks nasty. His stuff is good. And he's been able to go deeper into games and throw 3 innings. And obviously that's going to be a little bit of a buildup. But, you know, as a reliever that stayed mostly healthy the last couple of years, he does have a track record of throwing close to 100 innings. You know, over the last handful of years, you could bump him up to 160, maybe 170. And that's a third, fourth starter with a spot skipped once or twice during the year, or, you know, the All-Star break and, you know, figuring out a way to manipulate that and, you know, throw him a week before the All-Star break and then throw him 5th out of the All-Star break, you know, manipulate it like that and get him and limit his innings. But there is no doubt, if Clay Holmes is a legitimate find and answer in the bullpen, in the rotation rather, that's as positive an answer that the Mets could get at any position from any player on their team. It really is, because I think it's got the potential to not be a good fit. Because I worry about what he's... It's so important for starting pitchers to find themselves, and he has shown no ability to do it. None. So I worry about him as a starter. I do. But these are really good starts. I mean, this is as good as you could have asked to get going in spring training. And then the other guy is Beatty, who hit another home run for the Mets today and is now hitting .555 and slugging .1.1. So right now he's got an OPS of 1.7. Excuse me. 1.6 rather. Oh, no. 1.7. He's got an OPS of 1.7 so far to start the year with another home run. Now, as long as Mendoza is sticking to the thought process that that final roster piece doesn't have to be able to play short. Because in my mind, Lindor is 31 years old. Not that that's old. He's still in the prime of his career, but he has been playing a long time. He's 31. He broke, I shouldn't say broke down, because then he came back and was great for them and hit some of the biggest home runs of the season. But, you know, he had his injury issues at the end of the year. It's a lot to ask a 31-year-old who's played as many games as he had to continue to be, you know, the everyday third baseman that plays just every single day without questions asked. So I would think I would like, me personally, to have an option of someone who can play shortstop on a once-a-week, once-every-other-week basis on a somewhat regular basis and give him a day at DH every once in a while or give him a day off every once in a while. I would like that. I think you might get a more productive. I know you can't get much more productive than last year, but I just want to make sure I keep him healthy. And he is getting up there, and shortstop's a demanding position. But right now, the Mets aren't talking like that. The Mets are talking, and certainly, obviously, Lindor isn't talking like that. He wants to play every day. But if you just need an emergency shortstop, if he goes down with an injury or something, God, you know, knock on wood, not rooting for it. And I have to say that because you crazy people think I'm out here rooting for Met injuries because I'm a Yankee fan. If Lindor goes down or something happens in-game, then you could just put anyone at shortstop. You could put Beatty at shortstop for 5 innings, get through it no matter what happens, and you move on, and then you call up Acuna or whoever else to play shortstop moving forward. But if you're going to count on giving Lindor a day every once in a while, then you'd like to have a legitimate player who can play the shortstop position. So that's the question on how that final roster spot goes, because everything else is answered. Like, they have their team. You have the backup catcher. You've got your other outfielder in Taylor. You've got, obviously, Marte as your, him and Winker are your DH, right, your DH options. So, like, the roster is set other than your last utility infield spot or backup infielder. And if Beatty hits like this, there's nothing left to prove. I hate to not get him at bats in AAA, but there's nothing left to prove with him playing in AAA. He can mash AAA pitching. There is no doubt about it. He is going to go down and mash as long as his head's right and he's not disappointed he didn't make the team despite having a friggin' 1.7 OPS. So as long as his frame of mind is the same frame of mind that Vientos had last year when he would get sent down, I expect him to mash in AAA. So to me, if you could have Beatty available on this team, if you could have Beatty who might be able to play second base and give McNeil a run for his money, because, you know, I'm tired of McNeil. You know, I feel about Jeff McNeil. I'm just tired of watching him hit. I mean, right now, I don't know how you don't put him on this roster. And if you could find that and he could be that big left-handed bop for you and hit home runs in the middle of that lineup, those are two really key answers for the New York Mets. So as we're getting ready to start, you know, a month away now. Yesterday was a month. Today's now the 28th. Happy birthday to my mother-in-law, Rose. Happy birthday. But yesterday we are a month away from baseball. That's plenty of time, but it's also getting close. And these decisions are going to have to be made. And right now, I would think Beatty is earning his spot on the roster. We'll get to the other rookie in Yankee camp, Spencer Jones, and how he's feeling dangerous. We'll get to some other things. We'll get back to your calls here. 888-808-1019. Charlie in Queens. What's up, Charlie?
Hello. I don't know if you remember, I called you initially when you brought up Pac-Man, when you wanted to, like, when it was the All-Star break, I remember, and all that.
Okay, yeah.
I have a question. If you watch something, remember I brought up that he was part of South Park lore because there was a special show with him where he was up against Christopher Reeves because Reeves became a villain?
No, I don't remember that.
Okay. So, basically, South Park it was a juxtaposition where he was the good guy, Hackman, and Reeves was a bad guy.
Right.
And basically he was outgoing, disgusting. He was eating fetuses to give him power. And Hackman was like the good guy, like, you got to stop. You were once a really good man. You can't do this. This is wrong.
Right. So you, and I'm going to let you go just because of the topic. On the, I'll take, I understand South Park can get away with it on Comedy Central. I know it's the middle of the morning, but you gotta leave it to South Park. I'll have to watch that episode. I don't remember Gene Hackman versus Christopher Reeves on South Park, but leave it to those guys. Oh my God. This is what happens. You open up Gene Hackman calls.
Well, that's a completely different topic. South Park and their writing.
Yeah, no, they're different. Are you aware of South Park?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh,
okay, good. You aware of South Park? Okay, good.
I remember that episode, too.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Don't tell me about it. Doesn't sound good.
I love South Park.
Of course. Who doesn't love South Park? Have you ever seen Basketball?
Yes.
The movie they made.
Heard of it. Never watched it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm losing it. Did we talk about on air how old you are? Or was that off air? That was off air, right?
No, that was on air.
Oh, that was on air? Yeah. Okay, I'm losing it. After I graduated high school, how is that possible? Class of 01. Same, and the other tragic, this week we lost Al Troutwig too. Went to my high school. He was from Franklin Square.
Is he the most famous person from high school?
I think he was. I don't know about now, and I don't mean me. I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's any other alum that have surpassed him. But in my mind, when I was in high school, Al Troutwig was the only one that I knew of. I'm trying to think. There was a really good basketball player who went and played for St. John's, but I don't think he ever became anything. We played against famous Amos Zoroway. He went to, I think, West Hempstead High School. Rich Davis of, he was on, SNY for a bit. He's on, Sirius Radio. Rich and Cavill, he does like, morning radio. Rich Davis and I were, he was a senior when I was in eighth grade. And we were both in the production of Anything Goes. He was the lead. And I was the guy who opened the show. And said, all aboard, all aboard that's going aboard. Or all ashore that's going ashore. I think it's all aboard that's coming aboard. I had like a couple of moments. I was in every song because of my singing prowess. But I didn't have a major role. I was only in eighth grade. But Rich Davis of Sirius XM Radio. I think, and he had that show. He had a show on SNY too, the two of them, him and his partner. Had a brief show on SNY. Rich and, why am I forgetting his name? I got to hit Rich up.
I know nothing about this.
He's out in California now. But Rich Davis he does a Sirius XM
he's doing
Fox Sports Radio.
Covino and Rich.
Yeah. That's it. Covino and Rich. That's Rich Davis. He went to the same high school as me. So there's me. There's Rich Davis. There's Al Troutwig. I think that's it that I know of. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. That's pretty good. All of us in sports, too. Like, it's all sports-related. Very odd. There's got to be somebody else. I got to be missing somebody. Oh, yeah, no, of course. I forget his name. Massimino. He went to the moon. He was an astronaut. Forget his name now. Something Massimino. I think that was his last name. And he was an astronaut. I don't know if he went, because we have
Mike Massimino.
Mike Massimino, astronaut? Yeah. He went to Cary High School, so we have an astronaut, and we've got three sports figures. But only one of us was in Cool Runnings. Only one of us had their house rented out to Robert De Niro in Meet the Parents. Are you aware of that movie? Meet the Parents. Ever see that?
Nope.
Oh, my God. You've seen Meet the Parents, right?
I think I've seen it.
Oh, my God. I can't do this. 888-808-1019. What are we doing? Do I need another break or do I keep rambling until we're at the top?
I don't know. I feel like you're really stressed out by our ages here.
Yeah, it's weird because I'm not old. I'm really not that old. I'm only 41. And I'm talking to you. You guys don't know anything about Gene Hackman. You don't even know Meet the Parents. Do you know who Robert De Niro is?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait, okay. is this the first movie of Meet the Fockers?
Yes. It's the original Meet the Fockers.
I've heard of the movie.
Meet the Fockers is the sequel.
Okay, I've heard the sequel.
And then there's Meet the Kids or something. There was a third one that was terrible. But the first two were really good. My God.
We can list favorite Robert De Niro movies.
Favorite Robert De Niro movies. Why not? 888-808-1019. No, we come back. We still got to do the list. Let me do that right now. What the hell? I got 5 minutes to kill. Everyone keeps sending it to me. The Fox Sports top 10 biggest athletes currently playing in New York. Now, the biggest athlete, I don't know what that means by biggest. That's like an ambiguous kind of wording where they could probably justify it a bunch of different ways. Well, he's making the most money. He's the biggest topic at the moment. He's the this or that. I'm going to go with best. Let's call it best. The best athlete in New York.
Or even most popular.
Even most popular, I suppose. Right? I guess. Right now, Soto is such a story, though. I don't know. But, like, I don't know what list. Biggest, popular, best, whatever you want to call it. There is no list where Juan Soto is ahead of Aaron Judge. There just isn't. There's no list. I'm sorry. But this is the top 10, according to Fox Sports. Number one, Juan Soto. Number two, Aaron Judge. Number three, Jalen Brunson. Number four, Francisco Lindor. Number five, Karl Anthony Towns. Number six, Malik Nabers. Number seven, Sauce Gardner. Number eight, Davante Adams. Number nine, Giancarlo Stanton. And number 10, Pete Alonso. I'm sorry. There is no list where Juan Soto is ahead of Aaron Judge other than contract. Who's got the bigger contract? Juan Soto. Juan Soto has played 1 year and is starting his second year in New York. That's it. Judge has been here since 2016 and really hit the scene in 2017. You're talking about 8 years ago. Oh, and by the way, he's the better baseball player. And I know the people who disagree with that, however many few of you misguided people there are going to give me the postseason. And I get it. He's won a World Series. He hit better in the postseason this year and took the Yankees to the World Series. I get it. Baseball is 162. Aaron Judge is a far better player. Aaron Judge has won two MVPs. Juan Soto has won none. Aaron Judge is the far better athlete. Aaron Judge is the far better defender. And even though Juan Soto is a one-tool player, if you want to call him that, I think that's stupid when people say it, but I'm just saying, he hits. That's Juan Soto. Juan Soto doesn't really play the field well. Juan Soto doesn't really run the bases well. Juan Soto hits. Give me any measurement you want. Batting average, on base percentage, walks, home runs, RBIs, runs scored. It doesn't matter what you give me. Aaron Judge is better at it. Juan Soto is the premier, right? One of the premier on base percentage guys in baseball for his whole career. Judge is better at that, too. The one thing I'll say is he gives you a tougher at-bat, right? I'll give you that. He'll with two strikes, he might battle more, but here's you want to look at the numbers? Because I did it once. I'll pull it up again, but I did it once prior in an argument. Better batting average with two strikes? Aaron Judge. There's not a single offensive category that you can tell me Juan Soto is better than Aaron Judge. He's not. Aaron Judge is the best offensive player in the sport. He's better than Ohtani. He's better than Juan Soto. He is the best hitter in Major League Baseball. He's been here for 8 years. He's been a constant fixture in the postseason with the New York Yankees. Sorry. The top 10 biggest athletes, Juan Soto shouldn't even be in front of Jalen Brunson. He's played 1 year here. He didn't win a championship. If he won a championship and was the World Series MVP, we might be having a discussion. We might be having a discussion, but the fact of the matter is he shouldn't be ahead. And if he was still a Yankee, I'd be saying this. I'm telling you. I know it's because he signed with the Mets and I'm bitter. I am. And he's a great player, and I wish he were a Yankee. And the Yankees are not better today without him. And anyone who tells you they are lying or misguided. He's a great player. He's going to be great for the Mets. He's going to have a great year no matter who hits behind him. He's going to have a long career. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame with a Met uniform on. I fully believe everything I just said. He's not as good as Aaron Judge. And he doesn't belong to be ahead of this list. He doesn't belong in front of Aaron Judge on anything, especially New York related. I don't think he should be. I think Jalen Brunson's ahead of him too. I mean, you could make an argument Lindor's ahead of him. Lindor's been here since, what, 2021? He got more MVP. I think he got more MVP. He might not have got more MVP votes because Ohtani was just the beast. I have to double check that. He might have got more MVP votes, though, more second MVP votes to Juan Soto. He was great. He's been there for years. He's going to be the captain of the Mets. Like, there is no way in hell. There's no way in hell he's better than Judge. I don't believe he's ahead of Jalen Brunson. And I think you can make a very strong argument that he shouldn't be ahead of Francisco Lindor. He's been here 1 year. But specifically, because I know it's going to, and it's going to be a lot of fun, because they both play the same position. They were on the, he had more second place votes than Soto had in MVP. Now, again, that might be a little guy. That might be, he was on the same team as the MVP. That might hurt him. But like, as far as like Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, that's going to be a fun dynamic the entire year. And the next handful of years. They both play the same position. They were on the same team as the dynamic duo, the likes of which we haven't seen since Mantle and Maris, in these parts at least. And now they're going up against each other as both right fielders for the New York teams. But make no mistake, Met fans, all right? Make no mistake. You got one over on the Yankees for stealing, for paying him $765 and taking him, and good for you. And you want to think you're big brother because you won an offseason, congratulations. And I just yelled at a caller yesterday, a Yankee fan. It was either yesterday or the day before. Any Yankee fan who wants to tell me, well, Judge, Soto's not good running the bases, Soto can't play in the outfield, Soto's not a good player, blah, 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 he makes too much money, nonsense. Soto's an incredible player, worth every penny because that's what it took to sign him. And I wish the Yankees paid him $760 million and felt the same way about giving out sweets the same way they do about changing their facial hair policy. I wish they gave it to him. I wish very strongly that Juan Soto was a New York Yankee. But that doesn't change the fact that when he's compared to Aaron Judge, he's the second best player. Aaron Judge is the better baseball player. And honestly, over the last couple years, it's really not even that close.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.